so I've got to turn this off. Forgive me. Going to restart this. Let me get this plugged in as well. And let's go around while this is rebooting and introduce ourselves. Some of you, it's perhaps your first or second time here. I'm Aaron, and please call me that. Glad you're here. We'll go this side and then the other side. Marilyn. There's Marilyn and Bruce Boyer. You got a trim. Yeah. It's warmer outside. That's the reason for it. Okay. And good. And up here?
I'm Wayne.
Very good. Nancy. Mike. And Mike. And if I could have someone in the very back go and turn off the track lighting that's all up here, I believe that should be the last four light switches. That would be a huge help. Mike and Nancy Jameson.
Annabelle
Molyneux. And Sharon. And right over here. Sandy. Good. Very good. Now, are we remembering names? Because why do we do this? It's so that we can hopefully be building bridges into people's lives. That's the reason why we do it. It's not something to waste time. But believe me, there's no time to waste. The next row. Good. Sean. Ben and Avian Calendar. Janusz. And let's do from the very back and then forward. Good. Anson and JoJo?
Tabitha.
Good. You and I have met before, right? Once. Yeah, I remember that. I remember the face, and I knew the name started with a T, but I couldn't place it all in there. Tabitha, got you down. Good to have you again. And Lisa? Good. Ravi Devo? Good. And good. And let's open this up by way of review. Forgive me, they say you're supposed to block this out so that you don't see all the inner workings here. Okay. Let's do a review of all that we have learned so far of the books of the Bible. And no, that's not the one we want. Let's see. There we go. Very good. First book of the Bible, when you think of it, think of what? Beginnings in the book of Exodus. The key word is what? Exit in Leviticus. The two key words which make it up are what? Feasts and offerings. In the fourth book of the New Testament, it is Numbers, and it is about wanderings in the wilderness. And then Deuteronomy is basically the second giving of the what? Second giving of the law. The sixth book of the Bible, Joshua, the first book of the history, is concerning what? Conquering what land? Yeah, the land of Israel, what is soon to be Israel. Judges, it's another C word, and what was that one? Cycles, and it's five S's. Remember what the cycles are? Sin, God puts them into slavery. Then they turn to the Lord in prayer and supplication. God brings them salvation or deliverance, and then there's a period of silence. And then they go back into sin again, slavery, and the cycle goes around. Book of Ruth is a what? Love story. And then we come to the kingdom history books. The first one is 1 Samuel, and it is basically about what king? King Saul. What kind of a heart does he have? No heart for God. But in 2 Samuel, we're introduced to someone who does have a good heart for God. And what is his name? King David. And really, he's introduced in 1 Samuel, but all of 2 Samuel is basically about David and that reign. In 1 Kings, it is two S's. One is a person and one is a thing or an event. 1 Kings is basically about David's son. What's his name? Solomon. Solomon, what kind of a heart does he have? It's a divided heart. And all of this is still by way of review. a divided heart, part of it for God. Book of 1 Kings says that Solomon loved, it only says that Solomon loved two things. It says, I believe in chapter 4, Solomon loved the Lord with all of his heart, but then it says in chapter 10, Solomon loved many women. So be careful about a divided heart. But 1 Kings is not only about Solomon, it's also about the kingdom, what? Splitting. And that is the after effects. That's 1 Kings. In 2 Kings, it is all the kings of the split kingdom, Israel and Judah, and they are heading toward where? Exile. They are not heading toward the Lord, so they're heading in exile away from the Lord. 1 Chronicles is kind of a summation review of what good king's life? King David. And then 2 Chronicles is a review, a summary over what southern kingdom? Yeah, the nation of Judah. Then we come to the post-exilic prophets. Post-exilic history books. That's after the exile. Ezra is the first one. And what is it basically about? There's numerous themes there. It's people, building the people, but building the temple and getting the people to be rejoicing in building the temple. So it's building the people to get to the place they rejoice in building the temple. How's that for a long phraseology? But there's a people and temple, and you see the people are rejoicing there. In Nehemiah wasn't getting the people to build the temple. He was getting the people to build the what around Jerusalem? The wall. And then there is Queen Esther. Not all of the exiles returned to Israel. Some of them stayed back in the land and lived for the Lord there. And Esther is queen of what land? Persia. The rug and the cat there you can see. Then we come to the poetry section. Job is about two S's as well. What are they? God's sovereignty and human suffering. God's sovereignty and human suffering. Psalms is what W word? Worship. Proverbs is another W word. What is it? Wisdom. Ecclesiastes is a V word. What is it? Vanity. Vanity does not mean meaninglessness, as we've defined before. Vanity simply means transientness or temporariness. All is vanity. All is temporary. Therefore, I've got to live my life for something that is long-lasting. Song of Solomon, basically, at its very surface root meaning, is all about love and what relationship? In marriage, there's the prophets, five major ones. Isaiah has two sections. Basically, chapters 1 to 39 is groan, and chapters 40 through 66 is what? What other G word? Groan and glory. Jeremiah, a stinky, rotten sash, was our theme word for it. Lamentations is weeping, crying, tears. Jeremiah also wrote it. Ezekiel, and here's Terry Cloth. Ezekiel, one of the themes of Ezekiel is dry bones. Even though God's people can be completely emaciated and dead, only God can restore and revive his people again. The last of the major prophets is Daniel, and one of the main themes of Daniel is what D word? Dreams. Good. Nebuchadnezzar had them, and Daniel had visions of the future. Now the minor prophets, 12 of them. Hosea is the first one, and that is an H word for Hosea. What is Hosea? Harlot. Hosea was told to marry a prostitute. With Joel, what is the key word for Joel? Locusts, because of the locust plague. All of this is still by way of review. We've explained all of this before. Amos is, one of the themes of Amos is we need to be straight with God, and the key word is what? Plumb line. Good. Obadiah, we are to be our brother's what? Keeper. Good. And then Jonah, and everyone knows one of the key things for Jonah. Jonah and the whale or the fish. Micah is Israel's day in court. Nahum is one word, and it is a flood on, and this book, remember, was not written to Israel as much as it was written to Nineveh. It was written to encourage Israel that their enemies was going to be one day destroyed with a flood. Habakkuk is a watchtower. Really, the deeper theme for Habakkuk is from fear to faith. Excellent little book, one of my favorites in the Old Testament. Zephaniah, 3-chapter book. The day of the Lord is the theme. Day of the Lord will burn as a fervent heat. Also, Haggai, one of my favorite books in the Bible. It is 2 chapters long, And it is all about the temple. Haggai, an older prophet, got preached during Ezra's time, after Ezra's time, to encourage the people to build the temple. Zechariah are a numerous prophecies about whom? The coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Sorry, I have great difficulty with this thing, and it's not working very well for me here today. I need to spend some time in a wax maker shop or something and get this thing adept to my ear better. Malachi, we'll have to cut that out of the lesson, I suppose. I don't know how many minutes that was into it. Malachi, basically, one of the themes is that God's people, even the religious people, the priests, had hearts of what? Hearts of stone. Now, the New Testament, which you saw last week, right? Yes? Matthew presents Jesus Christ as the king. Mark presents him as the servant of all. Luke presents Jesus Christ as the perfect man. But John doesn't present Jesus Christ as God. He presents Jesus Christ not as man, as Luke does. He presents Jesus Christ as actually whom? God in human flesh. And the book of Acts is all about the what? It is all about the church. And now we are just getting to the epistles. The epistles is not a female apostle. An epistle is a letter, is what it is. And these letters are written to people who are introduced to us in the book of Acts. So all of these epistles, the New Testament is not in chronological order. All of the things that take place in Romans all the way through Jude should be woven back into the chronological timeline of the book of Acts. But these are letters, and the epistles fall into two main categories. One is Pauline epistles. We call them Pauline, not because a lady named Pauline wrote them, but we say that these epistles were written by a man named whom? Yeah, written by a man named Paul, and they go all the way up through Philemon. Many people, including myself, believe that Hebrews is written by Paul, but that is up for debate. Therefore, we don't normally always include it as a definite Pauline epistle. Hebrews could have been written by Timothy or Titus or numerous other individuals. So we put Hebrews all the way through Jude into the second category of other epistles, and that's called the general epistles. General meaning that they are written generally to numerous different Christians. Numerous Hebrews. James just wrote it to numerous individuals who are scattered throughout Asia Minor. Peter the same way, as well as John. They are just generally, the recipients were general, not specific, like in Rome, in Corinth, or in Ephesus, or to Timothy alone. But also they are general in that there are numerous authors. There is James, there's Peter, there's John, there's Jude. So a little more general. We call them Pauline epistles. General epistles. In the 10 minutes that we have left here, we're going to be trying to get all of the Pauline epistles down pat. Pauline epistles. The first one is the book of Romans. Romans, when you think of Romans, if you would think of this, the debt is paid in full. Romans is probably one of the most explicit books. Specific books on explaining everything about salvation. The condemnation we have without salvation, God's conviction, and God providing Jesus Christ justification, living the Christian life in a sanctifying way that pleases Him, and that God isn't through with His people Israel in chapters 9, 10, and 11, but also very practically how to live the Christian life, chapters 12 through 16. So, Romans. What is the theme of Romans? The three words up there? Paid in full. After Romans is first Corinthians or Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is spanking. the saints. Spanking the saints. What was happening in the church in Corinth? There were numerous problems and situations. In chapters 1 through 4, there were people who said that they didn't like the preaching of Paul or that they didn't like the preaching of this fellow. I'm a follower of Paul. Well, I'm a follower of Peter. I'm a follower of Stephanus and others, the more spiritual. I'm a follower of Jesus. Chapter 5, they were putting up with known sin within the congregation. And here's what it was. There was a man who was sleeping with his stepmom. Everyone knew about it and no one said anything about it. And so Paul addresses this very directly on exactly what they were supposed to do. In chapter 6, there were Christians who were taking other Christians to court and being unforgiving. As well, in chapter 7, numerous marriage issues and unmarriage issues that were brought out, dealing with sexuality, and further it goes on. Chapter 8, 9, and 10, Christian liberty issues are discussed. Chapter 11, the authority structure within the home as well as in the church, as well as problems that we're entailing in the Lord's Supper. Chapters 12, 13, and 14, Christian gifts, spiritual gifts, were completely misunderstood and misrepresented and misused within the church. Pardon me one more time here. We're trying on her. How's that look? In chapter 15, complete misrepresentation and misunderstanding about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of our own bodies someday. And in chapter 16, they weren't even giving money correctly. And numerous other things. I'm only giving the highlights in this book. And in it, Paul deals very directly. He planted this church, and it was a church that was very carnal. And so, 1 Corinthians is spanking or correcting the saints. So, the book of Romans, what is it? Paid in full. And in 1 Corinthians, it is what? Spanking the saints. Good. 2 Corinthians is anatomy of an apostle. Anatomy of an apostle. Let me explain. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, and the Corinthian church didn't receive to it very well. Paul wrote another letter to them, which we do not have, that was very sharp, very blunt, and very correcting. And they said, who in the world does this guy think he is to order us around like this? All he did was just plant this church, and now he's not even around here. We don't have to listen to a thing he says. He doesn't care about us. And then in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, wait. Let me back up. And let me show you what's going on in my heart. Let me show you what's going on in God's heart. Let me tell you what's going on in His mind, all about the Christian ministry all over the world that's taking place. You're just one part of this. And I want you to know that I say all of these things because I genuinely care. All of 2 Corinthians deals with this. And so we would call it the anatomy of an apostle. Anatomy of an apostle. So Romans, it is paid in full. 1 Corinthians is spanking the saints. 2 Corinthians is the anatomy of an apostle. Are some of you sleepy? Okay. Did you go to bed early last night? Gull, you see in this one, GEPC, General Electric Power Company, are the next ones that come up. You have Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, GEPC, General Electric Power Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. The first one is a gull laying, and it is shining. Galatians, a little mnemonic device that's there. Galatians, and one word theme, unshackled. Unshackled. The liberty we have now that we know Jesus Christ as Savior. Galatians is the mini Romans. Do you want to know what Romans is and what Romans is like? Then let me turn off the alarm here. If you want to know what Romans is, in short effect, read the book of Galatians. Galatians was the favorite book of Charles Wesley, Martin Luther, and John Bunyan. As a matter of fact, Martin Luther said the book of Galatians was his Katie. Luther was married to a woman named Catherine, and he said, Galatians is my Catherine. I absolutely love it. And John Bunyan was saved as a result of someone reading the preface to Luther's commentary on Galatians. John Bunyan loved Luther's commentary on Galatians. Galatians is a fantastic book. Galatians, unshackled. Ephesians. And Ephesians is bodybuilding, except it's not this body, this earthly body that we all have. It is the body of whom? Jesus Christ. So, how does a body, the body of Christ, build itself? Read the book of Ephesians, because it's all about the body of Christ being built up. So, Galatians is what? Unshackled. Ephesians is bodybuilding. And Philippians, you see this bull is flipping ends there, Philippians. And the theme of Philippians is you see him happy, has a smile on his face, and you see this bull is humming. So we have our theme, happily humble. Happily humble. Hey, it helps you, hopefully. And you see that he has a tattoo on his arm, EMF, standing for eat more fish. He has a brother that endorses eat more chicken, and you see him on the Chick-fil-A commercials. The book of Philippians is one of the most personal and autobiographical of all of Paul's letters, except perhaps for 2 Corinthians. For its size, 4 chapters, Philippians has more autobiographical references than any other New Testament book by Paul. And in it, it is a book about joy, and it is a book a lot about thinking. And in it, Paul doesn't play up his own biography as much as he points, follow me only as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the expanded theme of Philippians. It is a Christ-like model of Christian joyful maturity and the thought that gets it there. A Christ-like model of Christian joyful maturity and the thought that gets it there. When you read Philippians, many people just say, oh, Philippians is all about rejoicing. No, it's not. The next time you read Philippians, circle all of the thinking words in there. And you'll notice, how does a person get to be rejoicing like that? Because he's thinking certain things. That's how he gets to be that way. He's thinking particular things. And by the way, all of our emotions are as a result of our thinking. Why are you angry? Because you're thinking certain things. Why are you worried? Because you're thinking certain things. Why are you depressed? Because you're thinking certain things. Why can you be rejoicing? Even though Paul was shackled in house arrest to a Roman guard 24 hours a day when he wrote Philippians and could not do anything, repeat anything, in which he was not shackled to a Roman guard and he could not be out among all of the churches and ministering the way he wanted to, he writes this book of great rejoicing. What trial are you going through? Can I encourage you? As Paul says in Philippians, he says, pray right and think right. Whatsoever things are all of these things, think on these things and do right. And he says, the God of peace will be with you. Peace takes away anger. Peace takes away unthankfulness. Peace takes away depression. Peace takes away worry and fear. May God help us to be thinking as well. And looking at the clock, the time is not my friend. We've hardly gotten through half of the Pauline epistles. Lord willing, we will finish them next week. So hopefully you will remember these and we'll do a way of review. Let's bow for prayer. Lord,